this is crap. And because he's got this history, it can't just be, oh, it was inadvertent. He didn't have intent. Who gives a damn about what his intent was? You ever hear of manslaughter? You still go to jail, I think, when you're texting and you end up killing somebody. But you might not have intended to do that. All I care is what I saw. All I care about is what happened. And the history there exacerbates the whole situation and makes me very, very angry. But I'm still open to follow up.
The opinions of Fred.
Here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome into The Blitz. No Fred Fowler today. Hopefully I'll do a halfway adequate job substituting for him. Jerome Solomon from The Chronicle sitting in along with A.J. John Glee.
Hi, Jerome.
In the house, as always. What's up, bro?
How are you, man?
Just lovely.
You look good.
Oh, okay.
You know what I like about you?
That I always look good?
Well, I mean, you're a weird-looking guy.
Well, what does that have to do with looking good?
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm telling you. Like, the effort is always there from you. You always have, like, you're wearing a
effort.
So here's the thing. You dress like you weigh about 75 pounds more than you do. So, like, you probably wear a small T-shirt, but you're one of those. You're like that dude on the commercial who drives a Kia, so he thinks he's an NBA player. He puts on size 19 shoes, she says, "Are you sure you're not a size 9?"
Small T-shirt would look kind of tight on me.
Size 9, girl, please. I'm gonna wear these out. Then he walks out in those big ass shoes.
No,
that's
no,
like
no.
You.
No, see, I will. We'll argue and disagree about plenty of things here, but that you're way off on that.
What size t-shirt?
I'm much bigger than Jong.
You're not significantly bigger than Jong.
I'm much bigger than Jong to wear whatever size Jong wear, I have to wear the next size up.
Is that a medium shirt?
Yeah. I don't know. It's the shirt that fits.
You have to know if that's a medium shirt.
I have no idea. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't. It just I put them on and if they fit, I wear them. I don't wear tight stuff. Like I'm not compensating for lack of stuff like you to where you feel you have to wear something tight to show off your biceps or something.
No,
I don't need to do that.
This is an extra large shirt.
Yeah.
Jong.
Yeah. And
be the tiebreaker
and you
here.
Don't, and you don't have extra large muscles. So you want to wear an extra large shirt. You wear the same size shirt as JJ Watt and, you know, other. And it's not necessary.
Okay. You think I need a large?
You need to go ahead and come on down to where you belong.
Where do you think? What do you think, John? Could Jerome wear one size smaller T-shirt?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a large. You could do a medium.
Okay. Or what size shirt are you?
Depending on the brand, I usually wear a small though.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I can't wear a small, and I'm not, and I like my sleeves
like to
come
space.
Down to. No, I like my sleeves to come down
well,
there.
I don't
like my sleeves.
You don't
up
like
here
to show off your lack of guns.
Look up.
Well, also, I think...
you look like the guy who took over Captain Phillips' ship. You're talking about my biceps. You're like, look at me. I'm the captain now. Like, that's how you look.
But I think Jerome grew up the way... The era Jerome grew up in, uh-huh. I think they wore more baggy clothes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
baggy era.
Well, let me get to the compliment
part. I'm skinny jean... Want to be woman.
I mean, I'm not either.
Y'all are walking around wearing,
don't say y'all.
You know,
that's not me.
Women's clothes.
That's just me and Raheel.
That's just Jong and Raheel. That's who wears
stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that if you like dressing like a lady.
That's all right.
And you're a man. That's okay.
I don't wear skinny jeans.
What do you call them?
They're fitted.
Every jean you wear is
what
skinny.
About the ones you wear that like cuff at the bottom?
Oh, those are joggers. I kind of grew out of those.
Oh, thank God. That's the worst.
Wait, Jung, you stopped growing 10 years
ago. No.
Ago.
As in like...
he realized that this isn't a good look, I think.
It was mental growth on your part.
These the khaki slacks are more of a professional workplace environment kind of thing, so I switched to those.
Good call.
Oh, yeah. Khaki slacks, that's very professional.
Well, they're fitted.
Now, what I will say about
only
Jerome
in radio
is,
would someone go, the khaki slacks, that's professional.
You always have the sleeves, like you always have the good crease on your sleeves.
Well, that's, you know, they have, I'm not sure you're aware of these places, but they have these places, these laundry.
I get it.
And cleaners, and they do your clothes.
But I mean,
you know?
I'm just saying now it's like, it's after 4 o'clock. If I wear around a shirt all day, my crease will be gone.
But
are you a starch man?
You also stink all day,
are you
too,
a starch man?
No, light starts. Light starts? If any on stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
But not on a shirt like this.
Do you get your jeans? Do you take them to the dry cleaner too?
No.
Okay. You're not the jeans guy, are you?
I just wear the jeans now.
Okay.
Back in the day, it used sometimes to. It used to be in.
I've never had a crease in my jeans. It's always kind of weirded me out. I've never understood it.
You know, it's just pants, right? It's not. It doesn't mean anything. Just there's a crease there.
I understand that. Okay. But I don't understand why you would put a crease there.
Well, it's a tapered look. It used to be in, it's not as much in. Now y'all try to dress like you just pulled your clothes out of the dryer.
That's true.
And it's all, you want the wrinkled look.
No, that's exactly how I dress because I just pulled my clothes out of the dryer. No.
But, you know, that's your choice. That's why you also have hair all from.
Jerome?
Yeah, you do.
No.
Yeah, you do. That's all you have is looking tough and being tough.
All right.
Yeah, I mean.
Says the man walking around with a princess lunchbox.
Yes, exactly. Which lets you know.
What princess is that?
I have no idea. I'm not at all concerned about looking tough. I don't have to fake it. You know, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to compensate for a lack of anything.
Because
I have more than enough. So
you
I'm good
come
to go.
From a part of town where you have to be tough, right?
No, it's not where I'm from. It's about who I am.
Okay.
You know, I don't have. I'm not trying to prove anything.
When's the last time you whooped somebody's ass?
I don't know. It's been a while. I don't have to.
Now they're all. You got that respect now.
When's the last time you whooped somebody's ass? That it wasn't a sanctioned fight.
Oh. It's been a long time.
So you talk a big game, but you're not walking around whipping people's ass either.
No, I'm not.
Exactly. Neither am I.
I'm not. I wasn't accused. I was just asking.
Yeah, but my point is, you don't
Why
have to.
Why are you so defensive?
If that's what you want to do, just stand on up and do it.
We're not in the same weight class.
Man, we just got here. The show started.
I'm in the extra large t-shirt weight class. You're in the small t-shirt weight class.
Then I'll bring some extra weight then, like 380. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I bet that'll even things
out. You know, we had when we talked last week, we talked and we said, well, on Monday we'll be doing the show right after Game 7, so we'll have plenty to talk about.
No, even then, when I was walking out the door, I said, well, that probably won't be a Game 7.
Yeah, it probably won't be.
I pretty much called that one. Yeah.
I was curious to get your thoughts on that, and I know you've probably given them out everywhere else, and I know people are probably tired of talking about it, and we'll move on. I just wanted to hear Jerome's thoughts, mostly about James Harden, and I know you're a James Harden guy.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I have long been in the other camp that says, well, I think James Harden's a good player. I think if James Harden is the best player on your team, you're never going to win anything.
The problem I have with you on that is you make it seem like there are 50 guys. If he's the best player on your team, you're going to win it all. And there aren't. I would submit that there may only be four or five such players in the NBA. Maybe four or five if they're the best player on your team. And that doesn't even include a Steph Curry, because if he's the best player on your team and the second best player isn't as good as the second best player he won a championship with,
right,
and second and third and fourth and whatever might happen this year, you can't win with him either. So it's not a straw argument, but Kawhi Leonard, if he's the best player on your team, I'm not sure you can win an NBA championship unless your second best player is really, really close to being as good as he is or equal.
Is LaMarcus Aldridge close enough?
No, hell no. Okay. And that's why the Spurs aren't going to win a championship. Kawhi Leonard wasn't the best player. He's never been the best player on a team that won a championship.
Okay.
You know, not even close.
Oh, I agree.
You know, so saying that about James Harden isn't a slam to me.
But you don't think Kawhi could ever win one as the best player?
No, I don't think so. The things that he doesn't bring to the table, you have to have somebody else on the team that does that.
Okay.
So the second best player has to be really good.
James Harden.
And I'd say the same thing for James Harden.
He'd be like the fifth best player on Kawhi's team.
Exactly. But that said, as much of a Harden guy as I am, I'm just saying I defend Harden as being a really talented basketball player and a good player. His mental deficiency up against it in the playoffs when the pressure is at its height is something that you can't defend. He has to either overcome that or he'll always have that. So I can't argue that. But him as a player, he's a hell of a player.
Because he's been
But he's not mentally strong enough to be a guy that will carry a group of scrubs to a final.
Because he's been
LeBron James can carry a group of scrubs.
He's been the third best player on his team that made it to the finals. And even then, people still talk about the way he nutted up in games 3 and 4 when he was in Oklahoma City. And he was the third best player on that team. And granted, it's not his fault that they lost. They weren't going to win that series no matter what.
No doubt.
But it's added to the narrative of
James Harden is on that team too. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. That thing about being the best player and doing it, I just think is a tricky argument, because one could argue Kevin Durant can't be the best player on a team and get it done, because he was the best player on that team and he nutted up a couple of times.
Yeah.
He refused and was afraid to take the big shot.
But if Kevin Durant wins one this year, no one can say that.
Well, because his second, third, and fourth best players,
they're all pretty damn good.
Are all in the top seven or whatever in the league. But I'm not going to argue, sit here and tell people that Kevin Durant can't play. And that's the thing. I think so many people, because we're local, we're in Houston, we just say he can't play because he's not a champion right now and he's not on a championship team and not carrying his team to a championship. We don't do that to other players. How many players in the league really can you just go, okay, if he's the best player on your team, you know you're a championship contender every season.
LeBron James. I mean, Steph Curry, he's proven himself to be in that category, I think.
But he needs a lot of help.
But in this day and age, everybody needs a lot of help.
And Steph Curry has folded up. He played terrible in both championship finals that he's played in. He did not play nearly the kind of ball he played before then. You could argue that the reason they lost last year was because Steph Curry did a James Harden.
I don't know. He didn't do a James Harden.
He didn't play his best basketball. He did his version of James Harden.
But he did his version of a James Harden. Yeah, but man, that's not a.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
That's apples to oranges, in my opinion.
No, they're both sour apples. The Steph Curry was terrible.
I guess my question is, when you think of James Harden, you've seen what he's done in crunch time. And maybe this is a bigger deal to me than it is to others, and I talked about this the other day. Does his body language tell you that it bothers him that this is what he is and that this is what his reputation is? He almost seems like he doesn't care, and that to me is worse.
See, I'm around too, and we'll get into a different version of this a little bit later, not to belabor this, but I'm around too many athletes to get into that BS about body language, because the body language is so overblown. I'm sitting at home drinking beer, watching TV, and I'm pissed off because I just lost money on this, or I'm mad because this is my favorite team and they lost. Why isn't everybody else giving me that same body language? People have a different reaction to how, and some people really do go out of their way to present a different attitude. They try to look different than what they really are and what they're really feeling. I'm much more into what a guy says and what he says away from the game, after the game, how he feels about it, than the look on his face.
Well, let me just ask you in closing then. Do you think James Harden ever wins a championship in Houston?
Well, he's in Houston. That's a problem.
Okay.
But if he doesn't win a championship, it won't be his fault.
Okay.
Because, they weren't going to win a championship this year. That doesn't excuse the way he played the other night. What I'm saying is, We can't talk about championships in James Harden because he's never been on a team that was even remotely capable of winning a championship since he's been here in Houston.
Not
even close.
That brings up one other thing, because Steph Curry and LeBron James, the two other guys we talked about that, you feel like if that's the best guy on your team, you got a shot to win it every year. What we've seen is free agents will come and take less money to play with those guys because they believe in them. They know they think that they can win with those guys. We just saw Kevin Durant take less money to come play with Steph Curry because he believes he can win. Hell, we saw Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, all these guys taking less money to play with LeBron James.
LeBron James is the best player on the planet,
right?
So that one doesn't count.
My question is, do you think other players in the NBA will say, I believe James Harden is good enough that I will take less money to come play with that guy because I think I'll win a title.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Ryan Anderson because Ryan Anderson ain't going to win a title.
Again, you're arguing something that's an impossible argument because you're saying that Kevin Durant wouldn't have come to play with James Harden. Well, hell yeah, if James Harden had Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the team and they just won 73 games, I bet you doggone right Kevin Durant would have come to Houston. So he didn't go because of Steph Curry. He went because of the entire package. LeBron James is it may be the only guy
exception.
Who's like, I'm going there just because of that one guy. So no, James Harden isn't LeBron James, but who is?
Okay.
Yeah, and James Harden led the league in assists.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not like he's hogging.
Russell
the ball.
Westbrook ain't far behind him, but they're still ball dominating guards.
But he's a ball hog. James is not a ball hog. That's the difference. There is a huge difference in how they distribute versus the ball hog.
I don't see much of a difference. I think those two dudes are very similar, and I don't think that they're the kind of players that.
And West,
free agents
and West,
are like,
West,
I'd
Westbrook,
love to go play
Westbrook
with that guy.
Westbrook may be more talented. He's a more talented athlete. But he's a harder person to get along with. James has a cool attitude.
I don't disagree with that. Players like him.
So,
I don't disagree.
So
but I almost think
Westbrook
to an extent,
is lower on that list.
I almost think, man, it'd be nice if Harden had a little bit of Westbrook in him. Because I do think Westbrook has.
Then nobody would ever play
He's a pain in the ass. But, man, at least it looks like he gives a damn. You know, it just seems like Harden's almost too cool. Like, he just doesn't – it almost seems like nothing bothers him when things should be bothering you. All right, we got all day to talk about this stuff. I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. Did you know most carpet cleaning companies are leaving the floors dirtier than they found them? Not the case with dirt-free carpet cleaning. You can get a head start on allergy season by getting your carpets, your tile floors, your upholstery cleaned by dirt-free carpet. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with dirt-free. And right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. Your carpets are fresh, deep clean, without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now. Tell them you heard about it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll do one room free with any purchase and a free speed drive for calling right now. 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet. In the line, I'm on to the fiend. Now dance,
good chance. Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back into the show. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can text us there as well. And on Twitter, I'm at Jerome Solomon. AJ is at AJ is the real. At Jon Snow. O being a zero, even though he's a perfect 10. At the top of the show, if you didn't catch it, we had Greg Popovich talking about the manslaughter that was committed on Kawhi Leonard yesterday. What's your take on that? I didn't see the game live. I was traveling. I was on a flight, so I didn't see it. But I gave one of those instant reactions once I heard what happened. I was like, guilty.
Why do you say that?
Because it's Zaza Pachulia. That's what he does. He's guilty. He's always guilty.
It's hard. Like, okay, and I understand the reputation. And sometimes that's enough to indict a dude, and that's fair. Mm-hmm. But when you watch the actual play, I mean, unless he just drills that constantly, how to stick your foot right in the right spot where he's going to hurt the dude, it seems tough to say it's intentional.
No, well, this is not just semantics either. The act was intentional. What he did. He did on purpose with the reason behind it. He didn't try to hurt him. But what he did often leads to injury.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So he did it on purpose. He didn't have to do it. He did that so that he could be in the way And maybe the guy tweaks his angle, maybe he doesn't. But certainly the guy, the next time he pulls up for a jumper and he sees me coming, he's going to glance at me instead of keeping his eye on the rim. So his shooting percentage will go down because he knows I'm going to be up under you. I'm going to be up under you all day today kind of thing. And so, and people that play like that, they hurt people. They injure players because they're like, dude, why are you under me? Why are you here? And it just happens to be that it was that player and that player's ankle that's already injured. If Kawhi was 100% healthy,
he probably doesn't get hurt.
He'd have limped it off and been mad and moved on.
I guess the part of me that, I understand Greg Popovich being upset. Your best guy gets hurt, you lose the game. Yeah, it's frustrating. But I have all the arguments you just said. It sounds exactly like Vince Carter talking about Bruce Bowen.
Of course.
And that's why I just don't feel bad. But I don't feel bad for Greg Popovich.
Did you actually see the Popovich thing though? The whole thing.
Like what we just heard. I heard it. I've heard the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
Have you seen the entirety of it? Oh, he was serious about it. He was giving a performance too. After he finished saying what he said, and I don't know if John played that whole part. After he said what he said, he paused for a couple of beats, and then he goes, "Is there a follow-up?" And smiled, and everybody was laughing. If he were really, really ticked off, it wouldn't be funny to him on any level at all.
Right.
You know. So he believed what he said. I'm not saying he made it up, but it was part performance. And Popovich is the next best coach on the planet besides Bill Belichick. He knows they're not going to beat the Warriors. But if they were going to beat the Warriors,
they had their chance.
Yesterday was the day to get it started, and you win that game yesterday. Kawhi stays healthy. You can put some fear in them, and the next guy that twists an ankle could be a Warrior.
Yeah.
So the series is not over until the team wins the fourth game. So a coach like Popovich is thinking, all right, look, everything has to fall into place for us to win. This is not part of the falling into place.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame. I'd be a little ticked off too, especially when you're rolling like that. I mean, you know.
I started thinking about it as that game was winding down last night. I said, man, if somehow the Spurs choke this whole thing away, I think they're going to get swept. I thought the Spurs would win one game in the series
at most. That's all I was thinking. Yeah,
I feel like you lose a game like that, it's almost like
on the road.
I mean, that's just a massive kick to the balls. I mean, that was your game.
The Warriors gave you. I mean, they were like, here you go. Points. They were like, okay, you go ahead, take this one, and we'll, you know, then the Warriors were going to wake up and run the table probably from there. But
I was with my brother this weekend, and he lives in San Antonio, and he's a big Spurs fan. And he asked me what I thought of the series, and I said I think the Spurs are going to win a game. And of course, he's 24. Emotional about things like that, and he starts talking smack to me at halftime, and I texted him after the game. I said,
hey. "Back to earth."
He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's probably just the one game they're gonna win." And then I texted him after the game. I said, "Hey, can you give me a check on that Spurs score?" He didn't want to talk about it.
But I think, to me,
you lose a game that you were up 25. And
it doesn't matter the circumstances.
That would have been like the Rockets coming back on the Spurs the other night. I mean, it's just, it would have been unheard of.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the circumstances. You take that kind of a lead in a playoff game, you're supposed to ride it out.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, well, our best player got hurt. Well, if you can't hold a 25-point lead for a half without your best player, you're not beating that team ever.
No.
I mean, that Warriors team, things have to go perfectly for you to beat them. And for someone to beat them four times, it almost seems impossible to me. It would take a heroic LeBron James performance. I don't think anybody else is capable of doing it.
Well, and it's the same thing in the East. I mean, yeah, they're playing game 7 tonight with the Celtics.
That's a waste of time.
And Bullets / Wizards, but please. They're just playing just to,
playing see, to see who's going to get rolled
play
on.
For maybe five more games if they're lucky. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We see a couple of guys, holding Robert and Fred, want to weigh in. We'll get you there.
You think it's Fred Fowler?
It could be. You never
know. I hope it is. He'd have to pay long distance from Canada, huh? He'd be It's not Fred. He's too cheap for that.
Well, maybe call Collect.
Maybe. That's true. Oh, this place. Trey's, you know, we're not there, taking Collect calls here.
If Trey's back there, then he'll take it.
That's true.
That's that guy. I think he'll take anybody's phone call. I wonder if he gets phone calls. Next time you get a chance, why don't you get his phone and see whose phone number's in there? See,
no.
You don't want to know?
No, I'm not going to commit theft.
That's not a theft. I'm saying just look through his phone and see who.
I'm not going to invade it. I'm not going to invade his privacy.
I would think it'd be fascinating.
He might have a Juggalo convention coming up, and he doesn't want people to know about it.
Not even go down that road at all. 713-780-ESPN is your number. When we do come back, let's say we'll take a couple of your phone calls, get those off the board. And Antonio Cromartie is an amazing man, and I mean amazing. I'll tell you just how so when we come back. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Welcome back into the show. Let's grab a couple of phone calls so we can move on from the Harden hate fest. It's a popular topic right about these days, though. And that is one of the things. I mean, my first thought, and I talked about this last night on my TV show, Texas Sports Nation, that comes on every Sunday night at 11 on KPRC, at 11 o'clock on Channel 2, KPRC, every Sunday, that Houston sports has been so bad, you have to kind of decide, and I'll even ask you, like, what, because you have to delineate in how disgusting the performances are, like, what's worse, the choke, the collapse, or the no-show? And John McClain claims it's a choke. Jonathan Fagan goes, no, the no-show is worse. Because, you know, at least you get a chance to compete with the choke. I'll give you my opinion. What's your take? Choke, collapse, or no-show? Which, if you're a fan, what's worse?
I think no-show is the worst. And mostly because in no-show, you can usually point to effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the case with that game six, was it just seemed like there was no effort. And we talked about this on Friday, about the worst, you know, Houston sports moment. And there's been a ton of tough-to-swallow pills. Uh-huh. I'll take that Bills loss in overtime. I'll take that every time before this.
Oh, see, you're so, so wrong.
Dude, I mean, listen.
You guys are...
It's embarrassing.
You're wrong. Wrong.
You at least had a chance to win that game.
No,
you'd rather not have a chance.
Wrong. And I'm not even approaching this as a fan, but when I was a fan, that's just the wrong answer. And I include no shows. See, one of the problems with the city of Houston is we've celebrated and applauded, held freaking parades for no shows before in this town. We've set a precedent for that. So that first, the Love You Blue, big, huge celebration at the Astrodome when the Oilers came back from Pittsburgh the first time they played in the AFC Championship game and lost 34-5, threw five interceptions in the game. We're celebrating the no-show. That was the ultimate no-show. The next year when they lost to Pittsburgh again and the great Earl Campbell had 15 yards rushing on 17 carries. Hey, let's throw another party for this. But on the no-show or the choke, if you're a fan, and I'm trying to put myself in the body of a fan, remembering how it was when I was young, but especially even as an older fan, I'm a fan. You geeked up, man. The big game is tonight or tomorrow, whenever it is, and you got everything all together, and you sit down, and you realize 5 minutes in, okay, well, I can go ahead and move on then. There's no need. I have nothing else invested in this. I'm good. Versus that Buffalo one. You were riding for 2 hours. You all sucky. Now you dancing. You sending texts to your brother talking noise.
That's why you don't do that. You don't do that till after the game.
And then it starts snowballing. and the pain, it's. I would think that pain would just build and build and build and build. Versus the no-show, you're just like, really? That's how y'all going to do me? I'm not even going to watch the rest of this mess. Because if I were a Rockets fan, somebody could have shot somebody in the third quarter and I would have missed it because I would have been long gone by then.
long gone.
I couldn't turn away from that. I could not turn away.
And that's the choke. You got to sit there and go, oh, man. And the choke is worse, too, because you keep believing. Oh,
yeah.
Well, everybody makes a run. And no, your team's about to lose and be embarrassed by some of the worst comebacks in sports history have happened in Houston. The worst in NFL history, the worst in NCAA history with the Notre Dame and University of Houston and the Cotton Bowl and Joe Montana and that comeback. It's been bad. Choke City was a Rockets failure to hold 20-point leads twice in the second half of a playoff series. Robert, welcome to the Blitz. Start talking.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
It's going sports.
Hello?
Yep.
You're there.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going sports still.
Hey, my comment is that with James Harden, I feel like, you know, his game relies strictly on going to the free throw line and getting those calls and, you know, shooting his 10 to 12 free throws a night. But in the playoffs, they don't call those, you know, ticky-tack fouls. So I feel like when he's not going to the free throw line, then that's it. He's not athletic enough to beat guys. He doesn't have that speed, and he obviously doesn't have that mental acumen to take it to another level. So it's like he just basically looks lost when he's not going to the line. What do you guys think about that? I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, this is sort of the – while everyone talks about how exciting the Rockets are, this is sort of the sadly overlooked truth of James Harden. James Harden ain't that fun of a player to watch. James Harden is a guy who – I mean – He sort of just takes advantage of the rules that are there.
What? When somebody fouls you, you shoot free throws?
Yeah, but
those are the rules.
There's something to be said for, like, if you're actually trying to score and somebody fouls you, you get to the line, as opposed to like just ducking your head, running into the paint and flailing your arms.
Hey,
and listen,
don't touch me.
I'm not going to knock it because it works for him, but there's two times when it works less. One is in the playoffs in general. I mean, the referees swallow their whistles a little bit in the playoffs, which I prefer because I prefer to let them. I prefer a more physical brand of basketball.
Right.
A.
Yeah. You don't want to be ticky-tacky.
You don't want, you know, scrub players deciding games in playoff games because the good players are in foul trouble.
Right.
And B, the Spurs just don't really foul you. I mean, they are. I don't know the stats, but like I've watched the Spurs probably play 20, 25 games this year. They commit fewer fouls, like just nonsense fouls, than about anybody.
Well, they play smart basketball. But
yeah.
The only problem I have with what you're saying, Robert, is, well, one, that's not an excuse for what the hell happened Thursday.
No, he could have got to the line 50 times. It wouldn't have mattered. No,
he wasn't trying to get to the line.
No.
So, no, if he'd gone to the hole 10 times and they didn't call a foul, you know, and then he got frustrated. I'd say it's weak-minded for him to get frustrated. But he didn't even do
that.
He didn't even give
fans a chance to blame refs.
Yeah. The fans don't even get a chance to complain about the refereeing. You really had a poor performance. And the one thing I'll certainly say that is the ultimate negative in that, Robert, and it does fit what you're saying, but in a little different way, is when James goes to the rack and thinks he drew a foul and doesn't get the call, he is as useless as the cheerleaders and the, you know, clutch on the sideline for the play going back up the court. Because he will stand there and go, where's the whistle? And it's like, well, everybody else, all the other nine players and the three officials are all going back on the other end of the floor continuing to play, and you're standing here upset that you didn't get the call. No, that's dumb basketball. Not to mention mentally weak, because like you said, in the playoffs, you're not going to get all of those, but you're certainly not going to, it's not going to change by you complaining about it and wasting time on your lack of defensive skills. You don't play defense good enough not to go back to at least be down there.
No.
I mean, you got to at least give that. And so, yeah, no, he's got some mental, I think what Robert's getting at is that his physical game is the limit, and I don't think it's that. His mental game is more the limit than his physical game.
I'm a tweet from someone who I'm guessing is 20 years old and just hasn't lived enough of a life to know these types of things. I don't remember Bruce Bowen doing anything like what Zaza did. I implore you...
Google Bruce Bowen.
I implore you to Google Bruce Bowen kick where he flying kicks Wally Szczerbiak in the face. And not only did he kick him in the face, it got Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw suspended for the next game because they were going to whoop his ass. Bruce Bowen, listen, I understand you're a Spurs fan. You want to defend.
Yeah, but no.
Dude,
yeah. Yeah.
And I love Bruce Bowen.
But yeah, but
don't tell me that.
Bruce Bowen would see me sitting there laughing at you for that one.
He drop kicked someone in the face during a game.
It wasn't Wally Szczerbiak, and it was against the Sonics. I don't know. He was on the Heat.
I'm looking
at the picture right now.
Trust me, he's done it more than once. that was he did it against the Suns.
God, this is crazy.
Yeah, he's done many. And in fact, you could find Zaza kick people in the face. against the Spurs even before. So, yeah, I mean, some guys play that way. Bowen was better at it than Zaza because he's a much better athlete.
Oh, I see that one. That one's funny.
The Szczerbiak kick?
Yeah. I see it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Definitely Wally Szczerbiak. Yeah,
it's the same with Draymond Green. You just can't go nut kick and pick a jersey.
Just find one good one.
Yeah, it's not one. He's a multiple nut kicking offender. Yeah.
Oh, Bowen was one of the dirtiest players in the league.
but also one of the most effective.
That's the only way he could have played the game.
And you know what? You can go – all the guys you'll talk about like that, Bruce Bowen, you just mentioned Draymond Green, Dennis Rodman did stuff like this all the time. You know what they all had in common? Some of the best defenders in the league. I mean, and people changed the way they played because they weren't trying to get that work from those guys.
And you know what else they had in common? They could play for me.
Oh, hell yes.
The Rockets could use – a guy like that.
Oh, yes.
Well, and to a certain extent, Patrick Beverley is that kind of that type of player.
Yeah, to a certain extent, he is.
To a much less efficient, effective.
He's a smaller guy too. If he were 6'6", he's like that. I'll give him that credit. He's close enough, but that kind of player can't be a feisty little, chihuahua. He's got to be a bulldog. For you, maybe that's the same as you're saying with Harden. If he's your best player, can't win a championship. If your nastiest defensive player is a little bitty point guard, they're not good enough. We'll be back. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That didn't go on the air, did it? I was going to say, we're cut off now.
This one about Nexen Tires?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Nexen Tire, leading warranty in the tire industry. Exclusive free roadside assistance. Got a flat tire? You get flat tires a lot around here?
Oh, yes.
I get them all the time. Oh, yes. It drives me crazy. Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. Nexen's the fastest growing tire brand, trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire on the web. Excuse me. To learn more at nexentire.com. Oh, cool. I ate China Garden for lunch. So good, but I knew I was going to be sleepy about halfway through the show. I didn't even make it halfway. I made it 50 minutes. I'm already sleepy.
What? How does Chinese food make you sleepy?
I don't know. It makes me sleepy.
Most people doesn't really kick them like that.
I got a problem with
it. What's the old joke about Chinese food? You're hungry again in another hour?
I'm hungry again in another hour no matter what I eat. I'm always hungry.
You're a big man, AJ. Yeah. A lot to fill, indeed. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let's do this, Antonio Cromartie. I assume you saw the latest notice from Antonio Cromartie, right?
I did not, actually.
Mr. Cromartie, who is a proud father of 13 children,
mm-hmm.
five with his lovely wife, is expecting again.
Man.
And his wife posted a picture on Instagram of her impregnated belly with the phrasing under it says, in the up-and-coming Cromartie draft of 2017, with the sixth overall pick, will the Cromarties draft a boy or a girl? Because they don't know if it's a boy or a girl, and it's their sixth child together. What I found the most humorous was she has boys and girls, pink and blue, finger paints or painting on her
like tattoos?
Pregnant belly. No, it's a painting. And she has two hands and like one palm print of a boy's hand or blue hand and one of a pink. And I'm like, well, that's only 10. You'd have to put a third hand on there to get all of the children he had.
Oh, and boy.
What makes Cromartie all the more amazing was, you know, he had a vasectomy a couple years ago.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, what's going on here? Like,
hey,
I had a vasectomy, and I got to tell you,
It cut him off.
If my wife posted a picture on Instagram that she's pregnant,
you're not buying
it? Who I'd call first? My lawyer. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know.
What do you mean? You know?
Yeah. Well. It's the difference in an amateur and a professional. You're an amateur father. You have what?
Two
old children.
Yeah.
You know. Antonio's got 13. Hey, he's going to walk into court and go, oh, there's no way I fathered a child.
I damn sure would. I'd say, well, listen, I've got this paperwork here that says I've got zero sperm count.
Yeah. And then just, who are all those people over there? Oh, those are my children.
Oh, please.
They're mine.
You don't even know their names. You know those kids aren't there.
That's why he wouldn't name them. He goes, those kids aren't in court children. With him.
I coach Little League.
Honestly, his kids are all in court, but they're the jury. All 12 of them, one alternate. It's crazy.
14th child on the way.
Well, wow. I mean, am I crazy here that if...
But those aren't 100%.
They're pretty damn close. Are they? They're pretty damn close.
That's what your doctor told you before you paid, right?
No, trust me. I did research on this after it happened, after the fact. Because I was scared to, and you have to beat off a whole bunch of times before you have sex to like get all the live rounds out of the chamber, and then you have to go back and you get another test that says you have a zero sperm count. And once you have a zero sperm count, it's like a 1 in 10,000 chance that you can get someone pregnant. I mean, it's basically non-existent.
You went way too fast there. What?
All right. So you go in, and they snip.
Okay.
And
you're fixed.
You're fixed.
Okay.
Now, before you can go, you know, back
Commando.
To... you could go back to however you want to do it, you have to... You have to clear the chamber of any potentially live rounds.
Oh, wait a minute. So after you snip, there's leftover?
There could be some sperm still in
like,
there.
This is like a war zone where
yes.
there's, you know.
It's a war on children. We're trying to win it. And.
Like somebody walking through in the swamps of Vietnam now can still step
yes.
on a live round.
So you have to. You have to masturbate many times. I mean, there was like, I forget what the number they
That's
gave me was.
That's much better phrasing than you used the last time. Thank you.
You have to self-pleasure until, I don't know, there's a certain number that he tells you to do before you go back to, you know, doing it however you want, loosey-goosey.
That is the weirdest thing. I just assume once they cut you off, you're clean.
Oh, no. That's not how it works.
Because it's for lack of a better term, isn't it tying a knot in the production pipeline?
Kind of.
It's not blowing up the plant. It's tying a knot in.
Yeah, but what it does is there's still live sperm there. It just creates any new live sperm from being created. You know what I mean? Listen, I'm not a doctor, Jerome. I feel like just because I'm white, you expect me to know all this stuff. I'm not a doctor.
You're the one that underwent this procedure.
But I'm
you
telling you.
You sound like you're an expert here.
Well, I am an expert because I do know that.
You're the one claiming Antonio Cromartie's wife is cheating on him.
I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming that I would, if I were him, I would ask for a pregnancy test or a paternity test.
They've got five children together. What woman would go out and cheat on a man?
Oh, please. Oh, please. Give me a break.
What? You have no respect for the sanctity of marriage, for the beauty of love between a man and a woman who've come together to create this basketball team, and now they need a sixth man, and you all of a sudden trying to interject this nastiness
because
of the world.
I bet he would never cheat on her either, right?
Well, of course he would not. That she would know of.
Right.
Other than when somebody shows up going, doesn't this one look like you?
Good news. Damn. I thought this was supposed to prevent all that.
We don't know. He may have had the other eight children before he got together with his wife.
Man, no, some of them are like the same. They're the same age. They're like 3 weeks apart.
He had three 9-year olds.
She's like, man, I got to do the math on this. Did you have twins, but the second one didn't come out till 2 weeks later? No. No.
Hey, maybe a doctor will tell us. I just don't think these things are all that permanent. And maybe he couldn't wait. Like you're disciplined. You were able to self-pleasure because that's what you're used to.
I guess so.
It came easier for
you. That's right. I'm a natural.
Let's go before we get in trouble. We'll be back on the Blitz. She used to be my homeboy's lady.
ESPN 97.5.